Good evening, everyone. The first song that we will sing this evening, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. This is song 500 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, song number 500.
O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore Thee, may I still Thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I've come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Never let me wander from Thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
The song that we will sing before Brother Williams leads our mind in our opening prayer this evening is Father, I Adore You. This is song 850 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. Father, I Adore You, song number 850. After this song, we'll be led in prayer.
Father, I adore You, lay my life before You. How I love You, Jesus, I adore You, lay my life before You.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. This evening, Heavenly Father, most of all, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us this week. Thank you for blessing us to have traveling grace to go see family and be able to return home. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to find them all doing well. But Lord, as I get back home, Lord, I find some that's on our prayer list that still need your love and touch. So Lord, we just hoping, praying that you'll stop by. Heal them, Lord, that they'll be able to be with us up on that next appointed time. But if not, Lord, Heavenly Father, we asking you that you touch their mind, that it'll stay strong on you, that when we see them, they always say you've been good to them, that it'll be encouraging for us as we get older in life and can't do the thing that we desire to do. But we need to still be thankful for what you have blessed us with. Heavenly Father, we always ask you to continue to be with those that are leading this country. Hoping and praying, Lord, that we can keep this freedom that we have, that we can come out and worship you in spirit and truth. We can learn things that we may be able to look in our own lives and make the necessary changes that it would help us to be able to see your face in peace. Lord, I realize from time to time I fall short, but I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I need you. I need you to help me to get through this life so that day when you call me home, I'll be able to see your face in peace. Lord, I want to sing around that throne and sing those songs of praise. So help us all to be able to do that, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we do have some that's on the road traveling, hoping and praying that they arrive safely and be able to return to us as well. But Heavenly Father, as we continue to go through this evening, we hope and pray that you'll be with the speaker of the hour, that he may have a great recollection of the things that he has prepared for us to hear, that we can take heed to and continue to strive to look to you and be able to see your face in peace. So Heavenly Father, once again, just thank you. Thank you for everything you done blessed us all with. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen. Our next song selection this evening, the title in our book is I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. The song list from Sunday. Sorry. This is our next song. There is much to do, song 658. This song will not appear here on the slides, so we'll need our hymnals for that. 658. There is much to do. There is much to do, there is work on every hand. Hark, the cry of help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be. What wilt thou, O Master? Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There's a plaintive cry of mourning souls distressed, on the sigh of hearts who seek but find no rest. Thee shall have my love and tender sympathy, ready at thy bidding, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Bidding, Lord, send me. There are hungering souls who cry aloud for bread, and the bread of life they're longing to be fed. Shall they starve and famish while a feast is free? I must be more faithful. Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Thy bidding, Lord, send me. There are souls who linger on the brink of woe. Lord, I must not, cannot bear to let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them. Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Am I ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. If you would at this time mark our encouragement hymn, that song number is 262, and the title of that song is I Bring My Sins to Thee. Song number 262, I Bring My Sins to Thee. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's class time, Jesus Loves Me. This is song 810, if anyone is following in our hymnals. Jesus Loves Me. This is song 18 in our books.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear, children far away or near. They are safe within his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
If you would open your Bibles this evening to the New Testament book of Titus, we will continue our study from where we left off last week. We started a brand new study last week, and we did some introduction there specific to the writing of this text, and got into the first chapter, went through the introduction, and then got into the section of verses there from verse 5 through verse 9. This is one of two places in our Bibles where we see a fairly concise listing of qualifications for elders. And Paul has delivered both of those lists to young evangelists, Timothy being the other location, and also to Titus here in this text. Starts off there in verse 5, and this is review for those of you that were here last week. Starts off in verse 5, says, "For this reason I left you in Crete." So that was very fundamental to the purpose for Titus being there, such that he could establish elders, it says, in every city. And we talked about that, and then we got directly into these qualifications. And I mentioned last week, and I self-corrected there in the middle of that. If you are a Christian, regardless of your gender, you should aim for at least all but three of these. Ladies, perhaps... all but three of these, in fact. Men, you might be able to add a couple more of these qualifications that are listed. Most of them just one word, such as blameless, steward of God, husband of one wife. That's specific to the men. I guess the man is the very first qualification identified there. But for Christians in general, these are excellent fundamental qualifications that each one of us should desire. And it's not limited to someone that is in a leadership role in the Lord's church. Everyone, and that's why I think it was probably easy for Titus easier, perhaps, than not impossible. I'll restate that. I don't suppose it was easy, but not impossible for him to find these qualifications within these churches in these different cities on this island of Crete, because all of the Christians in these communities were probably aimed at these goals, or a lot of them were, in fact. So starts off with the list, and the first several of these are the negative aspect. These are the things that if you're going to be a leader in this role in the Lord's church, then you should not have these qualifications. You should not have these aspects in your life. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. And we talked about most of those last week. And looked at a couple different verses there specific to that. Does anyone have any comments through that list of the negative aspects that they are to avoid? And we can talk about anything we've looked at to this point if you do. If not, yes.
You said that back then it was probably a lot of their goals. Is that what you just meaning a minute ago? The average person.
I would suppose that Christians recognized that these were the principles that Christianity should be based upon. And it shouldn't matter with the times. I don't think it should have applied more in Titus's day than it does today.
That's what I was going to say. I think most of these things, each and every one of us should be doing anyway.
Yes.
Whether or not we're going to be an elder or not.
Yes.
What I mean by that is that these goals is good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And my kind of wondering is that how in the world did society get so far off track? You know, I'm just thinking out loud. Because if each and every person acted like the things that are said here, wouldn't it be such a great opportunity, or not opportunity, but wouldn't the world be a whole lot better instead of being mad at everybody and gossiping and putting the blame on everybody else that society does today? I don't know where we ever got started doing all those things, but it is never, ever, ever taught anywhere in the scriptures for those things. It's always taught, be like Christ. And Christ was not a person that stirred up trouble.
Yes.
Even though he's accused of it.
Right.
Because of who he was. But he was stirring up trouble. He was bringing the gospel to all of us. And the people then thought he's stirring up trouble. When we all know that. And I know that those people are always going to be around. But I guess what I'm looking at is so many, I'm going to use this terminology, it's not a good one, so-called Christians think they're Christians and don't even have one or two of these things that they can say about themselves. Everybody.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame if true. Where it is true, that is a shame.
Yes.
And so,
anybody? That wasn't any different in Jesus' time, nor is it different today.
No, I agree with that.
From the beginning of time, yes. Actually. Shortly yes. After the fall of man. There's been hypocritical people, and you know, Jesus pointed out to those that questioned about the Pharisees, you know, and the leaders of the Israelites at those days, you know, they're telling us to do these things. Jesus says, well, they're right, do those things. Just don't live like them because they're not doing them, you know.
Right.
They're telling you the right commands. So do those things. But don't do what they do.
Yes.
Do what they say, but don't do what they do because they're not following. You know?
Exactly.
And that's nothing's new under the sun. Just new ways of doing it.
Let's continue on with verse 8, and we've come to the end of those things that you are to avoid for these qualifications set. So in verse 8, be hospitable, but hospitable rather. What does hospitable mean? What does someone who is hospitable do?
Specifically in that day, and it would be true today, but there's other ways, would be someone who welcomes people into their homes and makes them feel comfortable at home.
Right. Yeah, we have a very similar word, hospitality, right? And I mean, that's the intent of attending to the needs of others, putting others' needs ahead of your own at times. You know, sometimes your needs and others' needs can align with one another, but where they don't, I think if you're consistent with this qualification, you're putting the others ahead of your own.
Many major hotels and resorts have a hospitality person.
Yes.
Someone that's their job.
Yes.
To make their guests feel welcome, attend to their needs.
Yes. In Romans chapter 12, from verse 3 all the way through the end of the chapter, my study Bible has a heading for that set of verses, and it's called Responsibilities Towards Society. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 3 all the way through the end of the chapter. And right there among all those other verses, we won't read that whole text, but right there among that in verse 13, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, distributing to the needs of the saints. So whatever they need, be willing to provide. That's hospitable person. That's someone that is given to hospitality. Let's turn and look at a couple other passages quickly on that. From 2 Corinthians chapter 9, This is talking about the giving, and this passage and the next passage I wanted to look at, both with regard to that consideration. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, well, let's read 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We think about this in the aspect of our contributions on Sunday. But this aspect of giving is applicable to, you know, all aspects of our life. Be more willing to give. The next one there, a lover of what is good. I should have kept my finger right there in Romans, because that's where I'm going right. That's where I'm going all over again. Romans chapter 12. If you were still there, that's great. These responsibilities towards society, that my study Bible has this section of scripture titled. Chapter 12, verse 9. We read, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Abhor means despise it. Hate it, I suppose, would be an equivalent term there, an equivalent word to that.
The
NIV says hate.
Hate.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Cling to what is good. So those are the two opposite things that you're doing. You're abhorring one and you're clinging to the other. And that doesn't mean someone who has done evil to hate them, but hate the evil that they have done. Cling to the good that is done. The only one that Jesus said when the rich young ruler came to him and called him good master, he said only one is good, and that's God. So to the extent that we are following God, that goodness, it becomes a part of us as well. Lover of what is good. Sober-minded. I think we know what that means. That just means be in control of your thought processes, right? Clear thinking. Have an awareness even of danger. Recall what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5. Something he says there about Satan, a description that he places upon Satan there in that text. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The second word of that verse is the same one that we see here, sober-minded. He says, be sober. I don't think that means don't be drunk, but it can mean that. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Titus, when you're looking for servants in this particular role in the Lord's church, pick those who are aware of this danger, who recognize that Satan is in fact a roaring lion, that he is looking to devour the very members of the church that you're called upon to lead, to shepherd. Just is the next one. And let's look at Romans chapter 1 with regard to that passage, or with regard to that qualification. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it, let's back up and read 16. This tells us what in it refers to. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, Titus, when you're looking for these qualifications in people, you're looking for people who are living by faith. That's what just means. That same thing we find in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We find that exact same thing. That's where it came from originally, before Paul wrote about it there in Romans. He writes about it also to the church in Galatia, chapter 3, verse 11. And then the Hebrew writer says the same thing in chapter 10, verse 38. Just is certainly a qualification for this leadership. Holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 quotes a passage that comes from the Old Testament book of Leviticus, and that's where I'm going to turn. You can turn to 1 Peter 1, 16 if you choose, or follow me to the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, we read, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So, if you want to know what being holy means, it means being like God is. And that's the same thing that Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Be holy, for I am holy. Be like God. Not being God, you can't do that, neither can I. But to mirror the qualifications that you see in God. Self-controlled is next on our list. And there were two other lists that I'm very well aware of that use this same phrase. One of them is Paul's writing to the Galatians. In chapter 5, verse 22 through 26, he lists the fruits of the Spirit. Last on that list, think it's last on that list. Self-control. Now, if you look at Peter's list in 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's where I'm going to go, the order is almost reversed, really. I don't know. I think I'm in the wrong place there. I think I should have said 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 5 through 7. Let me correct that in my notes. Someone has that. Please read verses 5 through 7.
But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
All right, this idea there that Peter writes about adding to, right? So he's got self-control really early in this list. Because I think in order to build to the things that you have to accomplish after that, self-control has to be there in your life. Diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then lastly, love. Maybe the most challenging of all is this love that he writes about there. But self-control is certainly what's expected of someone that is going to offer leadership to the Church of God. And then next in the list, it says holding fast the faithful word. That idea of holding fast means, you know, firmly, with strength, with endurance, not giving up easily. The faithful word, holding fast the faithful word. I think maybe that's consistent with what Paul says to Timothy regarding their not being a novice, you know, not having a thorough understanding of the message that God has intended for mankind. Now, when they received these messages, when Timothy received this command, when Titus received his command, they didn't have the full revealed word that we have today. But to the extent they had it, they were called upon to have a thorough understanding of it. And then lastly there, the whole reason for all of these qualifications, right? Why, Paul, are you telling me that elders are to have these qualifications? Well, here's why. So that you can exhort and convict those that contradict. You're going to encourage. You're going to convict, have your influence upon their being, move them from the wrong side of the relationship with God to the right side. Any other thoughts? Verses 8 and 9. All right, let's read 10 through 16, and then we'll jump in there and add some commentary to those. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Insubordinate. What does that word mean? Any translations use a different word there?
Rebellious.
Rebellious, yeah. Yeah. If you were...
You separated this chapter in a very good spot. You did a perfect job with that. The first 9 verses there are talking about name the set of elders and what their qualifications need to be. This next part is contingent upon that very first word. For.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what's going on. And this is what those elders are going to need to defend against.
Yes.
That's why they need to have these kinds of things. That's why they need to be these kind of men.
Right.
Because of these things, what we're talking about right from 10 on. That's exactly what it's for.
Yes, well said. Odell, you served the country in the military, did you not?
Yes.
If a person was guilty of insubordination, What did they not do?
Well, you get an Article 15, you get busted down in rank.
Yes, they were not following orders, right?
They wasn't following orders. So
yes.
You lose a strike.
Yes.
You can lose 2 or 3, depending on,
Yes. That's not a good thing to lose a stripe in the U.S. Army or Navy or whatever branch of the service you serve in. What if you lose a stripe in God's army? These people that are insubordinate, it says they are idle talkers and deceivers. These are people who are gossips, people who are whisperers, people who are tale tellers, those who look to have an influence for the negative on people. Their goal is deception. And it says, especially those of the circumcision. So this is where they're arising from. We see, Paul having a lot to say in his writings of the circumcision and the deception that they place among people. And we're going to get to that a little bit later here in this text. I've got 2 or 3 passages. I'm not going to turn to them for the sake of time tonight, but I'm going to give those to you. That kind of support this idea. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. And then finally, Acts chapter 17, verse 21. And I can give those to you later if you desire that. But those are all passages that support this idea of this idle talking and this deception that's going on. People are no different today than when Paul delivered this message to Titus. They are still guilty of those very things. It says here in this passage, their mouths must be stopped. This isn't a job that Titus could do alone. And that's why he was going to be able to set this up, to establish these qualified men in all these cities that were going to do just that. Says these people are guilty of subverting whole households. What does a different translation say there in case of that?
Disrupting.
Yeah.
James, in Titus, is this
overthrow? Is another one used there. Overthrow whole households.
Yeah. Odell?
My question was, where is that at, where is, tell what an elder must do? He got to do something. Did Titus just pick men, or did he find men that wanted the job? How did?
Well, I think 1 Peter chapter 3 perhaps says some things about that. It says if a man desires that, he desires a good work, and I think I'm in the right place there with that text. It's in 1 Peter for sure. Probably not chapter 3. Maybe chapter 5. That passage is saying some things about eldership and leading the flock.
Okay, yeah. 1 Peter 1:5:1. Elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a protector of the glory that shall be revealed. It's what you said, Paul. Desire, where you find it? That's what I was looking for.
If anybody has a quick search concordance, maybe that would help the situation.
You said, I'm trying to find the verse where he said, if I want it, I must desire.
Yeah, I can't find that quickly, and I apologize for that.
No. So that was part of my question. If I could find that verse, did Titus go off of them, or did he just pick them? If I found that verse, that was...
Yeah, and I think this was a... I think this situation with Titus picking the elders was probably unique to his situation. We don't find this command given really elsewhere other than what's said to Timothy. Well, the Timothy passage
it's
more.
1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess my question, you said 1 Timothy?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you've got to think about that. God doesn't, Christianity, whole thing, it's volunteer.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's all volunteer, period. It's like our, unless in times of war, our military is volunteer, So I think the thing to think about, I thought about saying something early, if we're going to study about the qualifications of elders and deacons, I think the first thing to note is Paul is telling them, find people. It's not, okay, we want Bill to be an elder, therefore Bill needs to start acting like this. He's picking, Timothy, you look out amongst these churches and you find men who already have these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Not that can grow into them, not that'll start, they'll give up drinking, not that'll do, not that'll quit being his wife. You find men who already are these things. They're qualified to be an elder if they have these kinds of things about them.
Yeah.
The others, maybe they'll someday grow into that. But you find people who are already displaying these qualities.
Yeah, and I don't think the I mean, I think all of the qualities are qualities that they should have had, not just the person in the congregation that has the most of them, which would be an easy trap to fall into. Well, you know, this particular person meets more of those than anyone else does. They should be the elder in the Lord's church, or one of the elders in the Lord's church. That's different than I think what these qualifications require. But is any individual going to have all of these qualifications without flaw at every moment in their life? Not even the Lord, right? He was not the husband of one wife, or having one with faithful children. Even our Lord didn't meet all of them. So it's a pretty big big deal, pretty big set of qualifications. And the blameless part was really it was good that one was first on the list. The objective of these people that are identified in verses 10 through verse 16, this subverting of whole households, this toppling, this overthrowing, this whatever other words might fit that subversion. Why are these people doing this? Why are they guilty of these things? It says right here in this passage. Read that back to me. The very last thing after the comma, after the last comma.
Teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain.
So that's their objective, right? Dishonest gain is why these people of the circumcision primarily, but more generally others, are doing this. Remember what Paul says of himself. Let's look at what Paul says of himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Paul didn't recognize that he was marching contrary to the will of God. He thought he was following the traditions of his fathers, I think he says in other places in Scripture. And that's why it says he advanced in Judaism more than his contemporaries, the people that he was raised with that were also pursuing this faithfulness. He excelled more than they did because he was very zealous for this, because he thought with all of his being that he was following God. And I don't think these people believe that. I think these people are people that are doing it for the dishonest gain that they can get. That's why they are subverting whole households. So these are people that are certainly in need of correction, in need of David?
In this section, it reminds me, so this is the sect of Christians or professed Christians who are of the circumcision. They are probably what Paul refers to as sometimes these Judaizing teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They come from the Jewish faith and they're converts to Christ, or seemingly converts to Christ. It reminds me of what Jesus was teaching in Luke 20:47, when he was talking about some of these Jewish leaders. In verse 47, he says, "They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. They devour widows' houses." And that's what he's taking their money.
Right.
They're someone, they don't have a man to stand up for them anymore. They got a little bit of property, they got a little bit of money saved or whatever, and somebody comes along and tricks him out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on here. What you're reading about here in the times. These people are devouring, upsetting whole households. Maybe not just widows, but that devouring widows' houses and, you know, doing this for filthy lucre.
Yes, for what they could get out of it.
Not
yes.
The same thing.
Yes.
Not the same thing.
Yes. And then it goes on in verse 12. One of them, I think one of them is referring back to these deceivers, quite probably these these people with Jewish background, these of the circumcision, those of the circumcision. This is one that has a prophet of their own, someone that has. I don't get the idea this is one that has been a prophet of God, but apparently he prophesied some things within the community, perhaps. I don't know. And he says of these people within this area where Timothy was left, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's a tough thing to have said about the place where you're at, right? You're to go about all these cities around the island of Crete, and you're to establish eldership. Well, Paul, you just told me that everybody here is a liar, is an evil beast, is a lazy glutton. And he goes on in verse 13, and he says, this is true. So this indictment for these Cretans had legitimacy to it.
That prophet, whether it was from God or just from, you know, some other type of faith, that
yes.
made that statement, Paul says that part's true.
He hit the nail on the head with that one, didn't he? Right.
Whoever said that was absolutely right.
Yes. And then he says to rebuke them sharply. These Cretans, these liars, rebuke them. Don't let them get away with it. Why? He says that they may be sound in the faith, so that they won't be liars anymore. Your objective is always to evangelize, to bring people out of the mire, the muck that they are in, and have them in a more sound relationship with God.
God doesn't want anybody.
Absolutely not.
His family. He wants everybody.
And just because they're lazy gluttons and evil
liars,
beasts.
He wants them to change.
Yes.
He wants them to be saved.
Yes.
You know, and that's understandable for somebody that's not a Christian and they don't believe that. But my problem is, it's when two Christians don't see that the same, you know, the way to do it or the same, like on the elder,
mm-hmm.
you know, qualifications, stuff like that. That's what kind of bothers me. If you're both Christians, or we'll say two preachers, but they see it two different ways, and I get that bothers me.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Paul and Barnabas didn't get along on everything, did they?
No, they separated for a while.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah, then they came back.
They did. Doesn't mean either one of them was not a Christian anymore. They both kept doing God's work.
Yeah, but did they blame each other that he was wrong? I guess it.
It doesn't have to be wrong. We can disagree on how the method that we need to do to evangelize to this or to go do that. We can go do things that way, and I'll go do things this way. We're going to preach the same gospel.
But
you're going to do it by the internet, I'm going to do it by megaphone. You're going to do it by letters, I'm going to do it in person. I don't know.
Yeah, but isn't that, I don't know, this seems contradictory.
It would not be best, but it's better than in each other's face and fighting and bickering all day, isn't it?
Yeah. I just always wonder.
Have you and Clayton got along every day on the job, every day, about everything?
No.
You managed to get the job done, though, didn't you?
We get the job.
All right. There you go.
I know, but I don't know. It just seemed.
It would be best. It's perfect unity would be best.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
And that's just.
The rest of this is people.
Confusing to me.
Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. There in 1 Timothy 5, let's read verse 20.
Verse
20, you said? Yes. There, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he says, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I think that's the idea there that we see with this sharp rebuke. He's not calling Titus to be passive with his correction. He's calling Titus to use the level of rebuke that is appropriate for the situation.
And you know, that's a looking at that, because I think we can look at those qualifications of an elder and we think perfection, right?
Yes.
And what you just, I'm glad you brought that. I didn't think about that at the time. Look at verse 19 to see who he's talking about there.
I got to turn back.
Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses.
Hmm.
Those who are sinning, he's talking about that elder.
Yes.
That's exactly what he's talking about. Those who are sinning, those elders who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may hear. I believe that's the context of that.
One last passage that I wanted to look at there. This is from Hebrews chapter 12. And this is the reason why Titus was called upon to rebuke these. Hebrews chapter 12. There, let's read 7 through 11. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This chastening, this rebuking, is done for the sake of lost souls. And that was the correction that is needed in the Lord's church today. It's not easy to give, not easy to receive, but still a requirement. And I've led that in my prayer at times. I haven't done that recently. That if I've got sin in my life that I'm not recognizing, then I hope someone that loves me does recognize that sin, and is willing to mention that to me, to let me know that I need some correction in my life. Now, don't bring it up right now. Not in front of everybody, but you can. That is the expectation. That's the admonishing that we read about a couple Sundays ago in Hebrews chapter 4, perhaps. Correct each other. Encourage each other every day. That's what the Lord's church needs. And that's what Titus was delivering. This message of encouragement for us tonight, and that's where I want to end. I want to think about that in our own lives. We all need the patience of our God, because we have all sinned and fallen short of His glory. And so we're called upon to encourage everyone, to give each other the correction that we need. Not so that we can beat one another up with, you know, I'm more righteous than you are, or you're perhaps more righteous than I am. But so that we can all share an eternity with our God. And if we're just left freely to go through life and pursue the lazy, gluttonous, and evil beast behavior that the Cretans had, then we're going to suffer a fate that's very unfortunate for us. But our God's patient. Our God loves us, and I want to encourage everyone that's listening tonight to measure yourself only by the Word of God, not by the behavior or the characteristics that you see in some others. There might be some really good people that are a part of your life. But measure yourself with the Word of God. And tonight, that's the encouragement that I give to each one of us. If you find out that you're not meeting very many of these qualifications, if you find out that you're subverting households, that you're doing things for personal gain, or you meet the negative qualifications there that the elders are called to avoid, hope's not lost. You can still return in faith. We're going to sing our encouragement song. If you have a need to respond, you can put on Christ in baptism tonight if you have been convicted by this message. If you recognize that Jesus is the Son of God and there's wrong in your life and you're willing to turn from it. If you're already a Christian and you just need some encouragement, need some help getting back to the relationship that you once had, that's the title of our song tonight, I Bring My Sins to Thee. Plan on doing that tonight. Song 262 in our books, I Bring My Sins to Thee.
I bring my sins to Thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in Thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to Thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to Thee, the grief I cannot tell. No word shall need it be. Thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me. O suffering Savior, all to Thee. O suffering Savior, all to Thee. My life I bring to Thee. I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be Thine ever, Thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Thee, my Savior and my King. To Thee, my Savior and my King.
In a moment, I'll ask David Morris to dismiss us with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. Some of our number are shut in and can't get out regularly. Others maybe are dealing with some things more recently and struggling in different ways. And still others of our number are traveling. Doug is doing that. He's been away from us for 9 or 10 days at this point. And he's going to be making his way back to Harrisburg soon. And we want him to be safe in his travels. Krista and Michaela had planned on being gone towards Tennessee today. Krista's mom had a dental procedure that changed their plans a little bit. She didn't respond well after that procedure and needed a little more attention, and so Krista stayed with her most of the afternoon and helped for that till her brother could get there this afternoon and give her some relief. she still has plans on going tomorrow. It's going to be a full day travel tomorrow. It's about an 8-hour trip, so ask your prayers on her behalf, their behalf, as they travel. Is there anything further that we need to make known tonight?
The reason why Pearl is not with us tonight is she took a fall Monday at home, and she ended up breaking her wrist on her right hand, and she has a great big hematoma on her left hip.
Yes.
And she was in the hospital just one night, I think, and they sent her over to Shawnee Rose to do therapy, and she'll probably be there 6 to 8 weeks.
She's so, staying there at Shawnee Rose.
Shawnee Rose, yeah. So that's why she's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke with Naoma. And she's still in the hospital.
Yes.
And they punctured her lung, they reinflated it. So
she's in Evansville?
It collapsed, and yeah.
She's in the Evansville Hospital, right?
Yes. No.
That's where she went for the
Carbondale, I think.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Remember both of these sisters in your prayers. Remember Sue Clark in your prayers. Remember all who are shut in, and keep encouraging them and lifting up their name regularly to our God, and trust that He can bless in ways that you can't even think to ask. If there's nothing further, let's go to God in prayer.
Yeah, Clayton.
I just want to ask for prayer for Sharon. She's a foot is swollen up, and she's gonna have to have a surgery on it to keep it from. She got some kind of crow foot or something.
So it just happened. It wasn't an accident or something. She wasn't doing anything to it.
No, it just
had a medical condition. So.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this study we've had tonight. We thank for Brother James of his leading our class to learn more about what every Christian, many of those things that we studied tonight, as James said, should be characteristics of all of our lives. And Father, we pray, Father, that we're able to take some steps toward those things. And we know that's best for us, best for the church family, and for your church as a whole, Father. Father, we've been mentioned many this evening. We will remember James Miller's mother and Krista's mother. We want to remember Pearl and Sue Clark and those that have had these things happen recently, Father. For Sister Naoma, she struggled so much, Father, and we know she's weak, Father, and she's tired from these heart and lung issues keeping on, Father. And Father, we just pray for her physical strength and especially for her spiritual strength, Father, that for all of us, Father, where the bodies fail, Father, may our spirits remain strong and in servitude to you, and looking forward to that glorious day where we put off these flesh bodies and that we're able to be with you in heaven. And we pray that for our members, for ourselves, and for all of our fellow man, Father, they might come to the knowledge of Christ. They might set aside sin. They might put on righteousness by obeying the gospel and being baptized into Christ. Father, for Sister Sharon, we pray for her foot, and for Pearl, for her wrist and the hip, and for James's mother with her infection in her face, Father, and For Sister Sue Clark with her heart issues, and for Krista's mother with this dental procedure that didn't go so well, Father. Pray for Krista and for Michaela as they travel tomorrow, that their journey might be met well, that they might have safe travels and get to where they're going safely. Father, for all of our members, Father, we know there are some that are away, and we pray for them, Father, in their travels. We pray for, Father, all those that are homebound. We pray that they might be strengthened. And Father, for those that are with us today and tonight, we're thankful for each and every one that might be that are present, and we're thankful for the encouragement, and we hope that we encourage them as well. And we pray that we're all encouraged because we're found to be in the family of Christ. Watch over us and forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
James asked me that, and I don't...